This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You were about to go bomb a mosque.
People got scared. And they're like, man, I need to figure this Islam thing out. This is, whoa, these people are scary.
I mean, Islam is bad news. I've read the Quran. That's the problem.
I give him a $10,000 challenge. Go ahead, Alex Jones, to find in this book, the Quran, where it says that you have an open pass to go ahead and kill innocent human beings.
What about Sarah, man? You like Sarah? I said, I do like Sarah. She's good to us, man. She takes care of us, but she's still Muslim. She's still got to go. Wow. And if I can, I'll do it myself with a 9 to the back of the head. That's hatred. I was watching his reaction, and he's like, whoa.
Joe Rogan was like, whoa, wow. Yeah. That was his reaction. Yeah. Amazing, right? When he saw your story.
Yep. I was like, I'm going to see the Punisher. It was about self-defense. That's what it was talking about. It was talking about self-defense. And then later on, it goes into who you can have aggression against.
Greetings and peace. I'm going to go ahead and give the famous actor Jon Bernthal from The Punisher, Walking Dead, the honor of introducing my next guest as he's talking to Joe Rogan.
Richard McKinney, Marine, he was Force Recon. He was seeing more and more Muslims in the community. It was driving him crazy. So he devised a plan to go and blow up the mosque. Now, years later, he's a devout Muslim. He's the president of that Islamic Center.
Assalamu alaikum, Richard McKinney. How are you? Is it Sergeant Richard McKinney?
You just call me Mac.
Mac.
Just call me Mac.
That was pretty cool. People just got to see this Jon Bernthal, and he's a famous actor. Mm-hmm. He's talking to Joe Rogan. And he's talking a little bit about your story. I thought it's better let him go ahead and break it down so they got to hear your Army, Marine. We already did that story
right
when you came and sat with us. But how'd you get connected with him?
It was funny because we were in Hollywood campaigning for our Oscar nomination. And they told me about this guy that we're going to do a podcast.
Wait. Where were you?
I was in Hollywood.
You were in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And you were getting nominated for an Emmy Award?
We were campaigning for it.
Yeah,
okay. This was still we campaigning.
For that the film?
Yes. Stranger at the Gate.
What's it called?
Stranger at the Gate.
If you guys haven't seen it, I got to check it out. So he got a hold of that film?
Yes.
What happened?
Well, so they told me about it. I don't know who Jon Bernthal is.
Yeah.
Right? And then they said, you know, from The Walking Dead. And I was like, okay, which one? And they said, The Punisher. I was like, I'm going to see The Punisher? Yeah, I was just blown away. And he is such a wonderful person, just a good natured.
Seemed like a real nice guy, yeah.
Yeah, he's not got a big head because he's in Hollywood or an actor. Nah, he's really down to earth.
Mm-hmm. So did you ever expect, now there's your story, he's hearing, incredible story, and then you got him sitting with Joe Rogan now. Mm-hmm. So Joe Rogan indirectly is kind of learning about Islam through you and your story.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think about that?
I was amazed. I mean, you know, these people that hear my story and because, you know, being an American, I can't help sometimes, but, you know, people have a status, right? Socioeconomic, popularity, whatever. And Joe Rogan, he's like the pinnacle of podcasts, right? And he was just blown away. I mean, I was watching his reaction, and he's like, whoa, you know? I was like, wow. It was humbling, but very satisfying.
Joe Rogan was like, whoa, wow. Yeah. That was his reaction. Amazing,
yeah.
Right? When he saw your story.
Whoa.
Yep.
That was pretty cool. There's a friend of Joe Rogan's. I'm going to show you this clip, and I want you to, we'll have a discussion around it.
Uh-huh.
Now, you probably know this guy, and he's gotten a little hinged lately, more than so, because he's talking about Islam. Uh-huh. So we're going to go ahead and I think I want to be optimistic, and I like your slogan, kind of your mantra. What is it? Control alt delete.
Control alt delete. Control yourself, alter your thinking, and delete all negativity.
This guy, Joe Rogan's friend now, I think he could benefit from this. Let's watch the clip.
Okay.
Freaking pro-Islam. Look, I'm not saying exterminate all the Muslims, okay? Because there's, you know, nice people, kids, all that stuff. My issue is that is an expansionist cult that teaches in its Quran to come in and lie to people and then get a certain percentage, then take over, and then kill anybody that doesn't submit to it. And they're the biggest slavers in history. enslaving tens of millions of Europeans and shipping them all over the world. And it is all this PR promotion of Islam. I mean, Islam is bad news. I've read the Quran. That's the problem. So look at them all. They're a bunch of screwed up people on average. And every country that's the freest has a Christian ethos. And the West is the best. Everybody needs to convert to us. We are superior. Period.
All right. A lot to unpackage here. I thought this goes well with who you used to be, how you used to think. And would you say listening to someone like him at your time is helping you to become a person who'll go Bama Mas like you were actually going to do?
At my time, you mean like before?
Before. Listening to stuff like
absolutely.
This?
Absolutely. He would have been my cheerleader. I mean, he spoke a lot of the things that I felt at that time. And it's all centered around ignorance. I actually feel sorry for him because I think he's missing out on not being a Muslim. I never project that on anybody, but he's missing out on life and how good it is because he can get along. I worry that he needs to settle down or he's going to have a heart attack. You know, I mean, I care about him. And I say that because I'm a Muslim. I care about him. I wish I had a chance to talk to him. You know, not that I would change his mind maybe, but, you know, at least I made an effort. And my effort might plant a seed.
What does your shirt say?
Oh, so this is an organization I'm an honorary board member of. We Are Many United Against Hate. It's an organization that we... that goes around and we speak at schools and, you know, tell our stories about coming out of hatred. And,
yeah. This kind of hate, this kind of Alex Jones hate. You heard of Alex Jones?
That kind of hate, all kinds of hate.
Yeah.
You know, so the thing is I'm a Muslim, but I don't just speak about hatred against Islam.
Yeah.
I speak about hatred, period.
Yeah.
Because it whether it be race, ethnicity, sex, gender. It doesn't matter, man.
He's got a lot of things to learn. And we've been invited him. We did some previous programs to sit. I don't know what you're scared of. Sit and talk with a Muslim.
Yeah.
Get a Muslim scholar. Get somebody qualified and have a dialogue, discussion. Ask those tough questions. Like many of these things he's talking about are just clear lies. You know, he pushes things out there like fake news, exposing a lot of the propaganda, but he's pushing false propaganda. He's pushing lies. Absolutely. These are clear lies. It's not like he's inviting us and saying, hey, look, come, let's talk, address this. I really want to know. He's just peddling fear mongering, insulting. And it seems like he don't want to have a Alex, what's up, man? I mean, I'm sure he's gotten some of these videos we've done. How do I know? Because one of Alex Jones' employees or co-hosts actually responded to one of our videos.
A video I've done with InfoWars. Here's what they had to say.
Greetings of peace. How are you guys doing? You know, Martin Luther King said that the greatest danger for humanity is sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity.
Sure. So they know who we are. And we are here. We can go ahead and facilitate a dialogue. We can go ahead and come on the show, if not myself, somebody else. A private meeting doesn't have to be public. Let's have a discussion. If you really care about humanity, Muslims are not going anywhere. No. Christians are not going anywhere. No. We got to learn to get along.
Absolutely.
We can agree to disagree on some things, but sure. Don't lie, man. You're just peddling hate and fear. And next thing you know, you pump up someone like Mac here, Sergeant McKinney, Richard McKinney from in the past. Who actually, if Joe Rogan now knows, and John Blumenthal, Bernthal, and as we opened the show, he was introducing, you are actually, because of this hate, you are about to go bomb a mosque.
Yep.
Unbelievable. And he's helping to do that. To create people like that.
Sure. You know, it's like I said earlier, that, you know, he's peddling that Kool-Aid, right? Like I said, I not only drank the Kool-Aid, I served it out.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something we got to get away from. And now that we're, you know, totally in a political oligarchy that we have here in America, it's something that can only be done if we unite, and that's all of us. white, black, Jew, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, what have you. We have to unite for what's better.
You are actually looking for the things Alex Jones was talking about, where the Quran teaches. This is a clear, blatant lie. And even Americans or British or anybody, I mean, nobody likes a liar. When you're just lying, you might want to believe the lie, but you're believing a lie. It's not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You can easily find it if you're looking for it, if it's really there. It's easy to misquote and take things out of context and whatnot, but I don't think you're going to even find in context here. You actually want, part of your story is you were given a Quran, and then you were told what to, you were go read, and you were excited that you were going to go find some things that was going to fuel and encourage you to go ahead and fulfill this plan you were
about to do. Absolutely. Yeah. It's like I tell Muslims today, I said, if someone comes up to you and they want to learn a little bit about Islam or what have you, hand them a Quran, tell them to come back and find you when they have questions. Right. Mm-hmm. And if they read it, they will. Like this guy, he said he read the Quran. Now, I would venture to say maybe, no, he didn't, right? But if he did, he came across those things, because there are verses like that. Like you can't contextualize. You have to understand the before and the after and the during. You can't just take something. You know, all religions are guilty of this. Not all, but some rabbis, some ministers, and imams have done this. Like I told you about the story about that would-be suicide bomber that was going to come and blow up this gate in Afghanistan. He couldn't read. He was going off what the imam told him the Quran said. There you go, man.
I challenge right now, here, this is, and I'll get this to you for free. My gift to you, Alex Jones, or anybody else who like it, you can go ahead, go to thedeanshow.com. You get it for free on me. And I give him a $10,000 challenge. Go ahead, Alex Jones, to find in this book, the Quran, where it says that you have an open pass to go ahead and kill innocent human beings, to force them to convert, and to go ahead and just do all these despicable things, lies and whatnot, because he's lying. He didn't read the Quran.
No, he has. I can't believe he did.
Because
no.
You actually read the Quran, and you were reading it to try to suit your desires to go ahead and do what you were going to do, hurt innocent human beings.
Mm-hmm.
But then it led you to actually accept Islam, and you're here.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's happened with a lot of people. Actually, 9/11 was the biggest population boost, I think, to Islam in this century, you know, or well, in the last century, or well, no, it was this century. That's right. I get it mixed up.
Yep.
But yeah, because people got scared and they're like, man, I need to figure this Islam thing out. This is, whoa, these people are scary. And they do that. They research Islam. Before, they would have never even give Islam a second thought. Right. And then they're like, whoa, this is for me. This is what I need in my life to help direct me on a better path. There you go.
So he talks about, there's so much we can't cover it all, but I'm not saying kill them all. There's, you know, children there's women, but what are you indirectly saying? Like, okay, kill some of them then, you know what I mean? Just like the ones I don't like their accent, maybe I don't like that they're not white. You can just go off and interpret it however you want, but the way he puts it out there, imagine if he said that about Jewish people.
What would happen?
Could he get away with that?
Oh no, he would be shut down. Anti-Defamation League would come after him, and oh, he would be done. It would be bad. And it's like, so even though it says that in the Quran, but when we find out what it actually means, it was about self-defense. That's what it was talking about. It was talking about self-defense. And then later on, it goes into who you can have aggression against, not the elderly, not women, not children, right? You cannot deface any kind of religious structure. That's not Islamic structure, religious structure, churches, synagogues. It says that. It gives a clear perception of what you're supposed to do. and what you can't do.
So if you examine the Quran, then you go into history. Again, you have, and you can point on examples like the Inquisitions, the Crusades, forced conversions, bloodshed up into the knees when the Crusaders were taking over, forcing people to go ahead. So you can give historical examples. You can go ahead and quote verses from the Bible, Samuel, Deuteronomy, you know, go into the towns, destroy. If you want to play that game, right?
Right, yeah.
Go into the town, destroy everyone. Keep the little one, keep the young girls for yourselves. Mm. Doesn't even say prepubescent, just the young girls, right? Mm-hmm. So that's open up to interpretation. And then you can say, hold on, Jesus, who we love, he's supposed to be God in the Trinity. He revealed this now because he's God, right? So he's mm-hmm. is he the God of the Old Testament too? Is he not?
Yeah.
You can use verses from the Bible where Jesus said, of my enemies who wish that I don't rule over them, bring them before me and slay them, huh? Same. I have not come to bring peace but a sword. If you can play like, you know, playing chop up verses and whatnot. The other ones in the Old Testament, that's a little bit, you got to give, you know, smash the baby's heads, you know, blessed are those. There's a ton. We can go there.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
It's not going to be productive. We're not going to bring cohesion and whatnot.
No.
But it's like you're throwing stones out of a glass house, Alex Jones, because you're a Christian. So that's what blows my mind, right?
Right.
You know, they did experiments and they've actually read certain verses from the Quran and the Bible. And then they'd say, which book is this from? And people think Quran, but it's actually from the Bible.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Why don't you
show that, Alex?
Yeah. Exactly. And there's been scholars, not Islamic scholars, who have researched all the holy books. And the Old Testament specifically has more violence in it, in killing and raping, than any other book completely.
Alex Jones, are you comprehending? Did you hear that? Or is your mind and your ears are closed? This is a fact, Alex Jones. This is the facts. They've done these tests.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible, I'm not trying to disrespect any Christian.
No, absolutely not.
Alex Jones right now has got under some people's skins. He's got a control alt delete.
definitely.
It's more violent than the Bible.
Oh, absolutely. Quran. Absolutely. And again, like you said, somebody asked me one time how hard it was for me to convert from Christianity to Islam. And I looked at him and I said, I'll be honest with you. Out of my respect for Christianity, I was not a Christian. Because a Christian does not do the things I did, does not think the way I think, or plan the way I planned. I'm married to a Christian, a very devout Christian. And we get along because we have the same ideas. We want humanity to be better. We want the world to be a better place to live. Even though this is a testing ground. We all know that. This is a testing ground. For us to have that wonderful afterlife, that wonderful time with Allah, right? And she uses the word Allah, she was wearing a T-shirt one time, one of my T-shirts. You know, wives steal your T-shirts. I don't know, it's just something they do. And it was it had a Shahada on it, mm-hmm. And she was questioned about it, and she's like, there's one God. That's what she told him. There's one God. That's what this shirt says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, so we want the betterment of humanity. And that's why we get along. And that's how the religions are similar.
And why don't you attack that, Mr. Jones, the main teaching of Islam? They don't want to, as one of my guests said just recently, he said they don't want to have an academic heart-to-heart conversation. They just want to insult.
Yeah.
Why don't you attack La ilaha illallah? This is the main message of Islam. This is the main message of Jesus, of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing worthy of worship except one God, the Creator. In Aramaic, Allah, in Arabic, Allah, sister languages. Jesus actually spoke Aramaic and he said Allah.
Yep.
I mean, how much closer can you get to Allah?
Mm-hmm.
It's a proven fact. So now that's the main message. That's the creed. That's the better. Try to destroy that. Come on. It goes at your human nature. That's the, they get to these issues like in the Quran, fight those who fight you, right? You have verses. How are you going to speak to a general leading an army And now these people are attacking you. And what are you going to do? Like send them some candy and dessert?
Exactly.
You're in the military. I can imagine how, and you were in Desert Storm. You were in Somalia. You were in some of the, you know, most war-torn places. How were the generals talking to you, the captains, lieutenants, to pump you up to go out there? And were they talking about, you know, go give them a hug?
Oh yeah, no, it was like I equate it to those high school football locker room talks that the coach gives you before you hit the field, right? It was similar to that, yeah, with a little profanity.
Yeah. So you got the Muslims who are being oppressed to the severest. Mm-hmm. Their homes taken, tortured. I mean, their lives just, I mean, all the evil that you can equate were done to them, right? Just study the seerah, the history.
Sure.
And now they're given a chance to go ahead and defend themselves, to fight back. That's the context. But Prophet Muhammad is saying, do not. There's nothing. Before the Geneva Conventions, he's laying out, do not attack non-combatants, women, children.
That's right.
Do not, innocent human beings, monks in their places of worship, Christians, Jews, whoever. You don't have that, even the Bible. You don't have that.
No.
I mean, there is a man who makes a case that actually helped. He was someone connected to the Geneva Convention. And he talks about how the Geneva Convention actually, from the teachings of Islam, that's how they got the Geneva Convention.
Mm-hmm.
If people don't know what the Geneva Convention, that's like, what is the Geneva Convention?
Best way to put it, it's more like the what we term as the laws of land warfare. It tells us what we can and can't do. It tells us how to treat prisoners. But what a lot of people don't know is the Geneva Convention actually came from the actions of a Muslim.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
man.
Abdul Qadir.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bust of him actually outside the building of the Geneva Convention because he was the one who gave them the basically the foundation of this is how we're going to treat people.
Your besties, it didn't come from your besties. Right now, you have your besties, and people, hopefully they can understand. Alex Jones, he's smart, he can figure it out, who are now committing a modern-day genocide right now.
Yeah.
And America First, yeah, right. These people, billions of dollars are being spent, our taxpayer money, and you actually have these people who now Zionists, who now have their Zionist rabbis, and they're actually justifying. I was blown away that actually Piers Morgan, he's talking with Tucker, man, hands off to Tucker Carlson, man. He's doing some, you know, he's bringing up some points. He was on Fox News before, but he's adjusting. He's
right.
Like been a little bit, as they say, red-pilled. But his humanity is on. I don't know if you've seen this. Let's take a look.
I've seen a couple of the
Piers
clips,
Morgan actually is justifying. He's arguing with Tucker about taking out innocent human beings.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
If you're intentionally killing civilians, you probably shouldn't beat your chest and brag about it. You know, maybe you can make the
case. I agree with that.
Maybe you make the case that we had to do it or whatever, but you should.
I agree.
You should weep, and that's evil, and you should just say it's evil. And I know it's really, really threatening to.
Is it evil?
Ben though? Shapiro to say that or whatever. But
is it evil?
To kill civilians on purpose? Yeah, it is. I think it is.
Really?
Kids and children? Well, how is it not, actually?
In a war?
We can call it whatever you want. How is it right to kill women and children?
I didn't say, well, because I think there is a moral right behind you if you are literally
to kill women and children.
If
really?
there's a world war that threatens
call
the entire, if it threatens the entire world, yes.
Some people killed your kids, like your 8-year-old. Like,
well,
how
your
is
own
that
children.
Morally justifiable?
Well, because actually you have to. Well, by your criteria,
it's disgusting.
Okay, it's nothing's so no war is morally justified.
I mean, I think it's pretty hard to justify. I mean, yeah, I'm
any
sure,
war.
You know, a pure defensive action, sure. But all I'm saying, look, it's all ugly. It's all hard to stomach. I've actually seen some of it up close. Super ugly.
You can say you hate it. But the fact you quibble with it being morally justified.
To intentionally kill non-combatants, women and children, I think we can say that's wrong. In fact, I thought that was the thing we were fighting against.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
He sold himself out right there. He showed his mask came off.
Right.
Piers Morgan, unbelievable. You saw that?
Yeah. Yeah. Discussion they had, I think it was like in a garden or something. They were talking.
So, but you don't have that in Islam. That's the interesting. You do not have that in Islam. They're doing it right now.
Right.
indiscriminate. You got doctors who are coming out and they're examining American doctors, even Jewish. There's a Jewish doctor who's coming out. You got so many Jew. Also, it's a small percentage. Alhamdulillah, they're coming out, speaking out. Their humanity is on. And they're talking about, I don't know if you see the video, that we're seeing wounds, sniper wounds to children, babies. Not one, two. Look, they're seeing that. Hope we can find a clip and play it. You know about that?
Yeah. And it was funny. I was at the Palestinian March in Washington, D.C. last year. 500,000+ people. We got no news coverage out of that. But it made me feel so good because there was actually Hasidic Jews that was there marching with us.
Yeah.
I was like, man, this is humanity. Because one thing we got to think about is America first, okay? Especially towards the Christians. America is not a part of the end times. Think about that. America is not a part of the end times, right? It's not mentioned, right? So we need to worry more about humanity and not this nationalism, right? Bingo. Nationalism gets you nowhere, right? It gets people killed is what it does.
This is unbelievable. I mean, I have Israeli friends, Jewish friends like Miko Pilit. I consider him a friend. Mm-hmm. He's on the front line. He's an Israeli. His father, grandfather were part of putting together Israel, writing the Constitution of Israel. He's an Israeli. He's speaking out against this injustice. You have Rabbi Weiss. I don't know if you ever met him. Rabbi Weiss, an Orthodox Jew. He's speaking out. So this is not a Jewish Muslim thing like they try to paint out there.
Right. It's not.
Yeah. Muslims have historically protected Jews when the Christians, Crusaders, people often hear me repeat this, but you might have Alex Jones now tuning in, others who don't know this history, and they try to say, oh, it's about Muslims hating Jews. Why did Muslims then take them in, repopulate when Christians forced them out? The second caliph came in and said, where are the Jews?
That's right.
And he's like, bring them back.
Bring them back.
And Christian Crusaders, they were like, no, we don't want them here. Like the main bishop or priest at the main Christian at the who was running the Jerusalem, I forgot his name, but he said they were trying to negotiate. No, we don't want them back here. We drove them out. But then Omar radiallahu anhu, he brought in like 70, 80 families.
Yeah, yeah. He grabbed the head of the city freed, and he grabbed a hold of him in an aggressive manner, like he was going to beat him up, and said, "Where's the Jewish people? They have more right to be here than any of us." Wow. And throughout history, World War II, you know,
yeah,
Muslims along with some Christians, absolutely, but we helped hide the Jews. We took them in, and we're missing this piece. Somewhere along the line, we forgot something. And in a lot of ways, I think it's our humanity. We forgot our humanity. We forgot to live our religion, our faith, the way it's supposed to be followed. We forgot that.
Yeah, that was the patriarch, Sophronius. Sophronius, at the time when... And Alex Jones needs to study this kind of history. And you have Orthodox Jews. When I had them on the program, who testified to this, that Muslims welcomed us, they protected us from the persecution. Actually, sorry, it was the Christians who were persecuting them. And it seems like now they're trying to project on the Muslims as if Muslims were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So back to this, these lies here. I like for you to hear. This is a verse here that kind of trumps all the verses that they can go ahead and take out of context that are actually meant for combat situations. Mm-hmm. It's not just indiscriminately go and, because again, as we just said, you can go and take that from the Bible and play that game. But look, right here, verse 60, verse 8. I'll have our brother here read 8. If you can read that, please.
Okay. Should have worn my glasses. God does not forbid you from dealing kindly and fairly with those who have neither fought you nor driven you out of your homes. Surely God loves those who are fair.
Allahu Akbar. Look at that. Did you come across, is this one of the verses or any similar that you, when you actually took time to read the Quran?
Right. It did. That was one of the light bulb moments.
Mm-hmm.
where, you know, I went back, I because they said come back, you know, and I did. I was there more than most of the Muslims were. I tell people, I said it wasn't Ramadan, so I was there more than most of the Muslims were.
Yeah.
But you know, and I just kept asking these questions because, you know, you can't just read it. That's not a James Patterson novel. You can't just read it and say, wow, man, that's a good story. No, you have to study it. And we could read it, you know, every month. We could read the whole Quran every month of our lives. And we still would not be able to get from it what was meant without doing further research. You can't just read the Quran. You have to interact with what it says. And that's why when I first picked it up and I was reading it, I didn't just go with all the, yeah, Islam's the greatest thing. I didn't go with that. I looked at the pros and the cons. I looked at the people who hated Islam and what they were saying. And because those were the people I originally followed. But then I'm looking at what they're saying, contrary to what these pro-Islamic people are saying about what the Quran says. I'm like, these guys, no, they're not, no. And I started to get mad because I'm like, this is when I started figuring out I was wrong. And so I got mad about it, right? And I'm like, ah, but those guys, they read it, okay, or they read a few pages and they read the ugly stuff that they call, right? That they call the ugly stuff, and but without understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, bringing up the Bible, there's a section of the Bible to where one of the so-called followers of God says that he was given a dream that was told by God to kill a whole city, every living thing. Do not even take any, as you know, it's called booty. And back then, that's how a lot of army or soldiers made their money, is what, when they invaded something, they took stuff back. Well, don't even take anything. Animals, children, women, you know, all the men, elderly, young, doesn't matter. Destroy every living thing.
That's the Bible.
That's the Bible.
Yeah. You won't find anything like that.
There's nothing like that in the Quran. Yeah. I'm like, well, okay, you still want to debate this?
have you looked into this verse, Alex? Have you looked into these things? Obviously not, does it? Yeah. There's actually another, there's so many of these stories. You're one of the unique individuals who now is perfect for Alex Jones and others, some of these people who have that type of hate in their heart. And you can testify, what was that doing to your health, to your life, having that type of hate?
Well, it was slowly killing me. I was addicted to alcohol. You know, there was a few years there where I don't think I had a sober day. And it was sad. You know, there was a point in my life when I was like the life of the party. People would actually decide whether they were going to a party, if I was going to be there or not, because they knew if I was there, it was going to be a great time. To where towards the end, I just sat and cried. Because I hurt so much, and I try to show that hurt as hatred, because of course, you know, the machismo thing, right? Gotta be tough guy. Well, in all actuality, I haven't been tough since 06, and I knew it was time for a change. I knew things were happening. And I, in a lot of ways, I tried to fend them off. I tried to push them away. I didn't want it to change because I saw this hatred as what was actually keeping me alive.
Wow.
Yeah. I equated it to like another organ in my body. You don't want to lose an organ, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, those are important. And that's the way I saw it. And it just kept me going and kept me going. And I couldn't even, you know, like my wife says in the film, you know, she would avert where we went down in aisles, like at Walmart or mm-hmm. something, just because if there was a Muslima or something, because I'd say something nasty to her. Oh, yeah.
You were that extreme.
I was that bad. I don't even know this person. I'm going to go by and I'm going to say all kinds of nasty things to him.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll explain my hatred, and you can edit this out. That's fine. But because I only tell this to certain audiences, because it is kind of graphic. But my hatred, when I explain hatred to people, because a lot of people, it's just a word we throw around nowadays, mm-hmm. and nobody even really knows what it means anymore. But my hatred was deep. It was in Bosnia. We had an interpreter. Her name was Sarah. Wonderful young lady, 20-something, she took care of us. She took care of us. We went into a Serbian village within Bosnia. I was set up to talk to the police chief, so we went into his office. And here's Sarah. Now, they're talking back and forth. I really don't understand the language that well, a little bit here and there, not much. And I noticed she was looking very uncomfortable. And I said, "Sarah, well, what's he saying to you?" And he goes, she said, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I said, "Is it bad?" She goes, I stood up with my rifle, pointed it straight across his desk at him, and said, "Sarah, tell him exactly what I'm saying." I won't tell you exactly what I'm saying, what I said, but basically it was, if you don't have anything nice to say, shut up. Yeah. Shut your mouth. And he just put his hands up and said, "All right." And we went on about our conversation. Now, that's because I cared about her. I liked her. I would do PR interviews for radio in Bosnia. You know, of course, I have an interpreter. Yeah. Well, we would hold hands. I got a lot of teasing for this, but we would hold hands because when she wanted me to quit talking so she could interpret, she'd squeeze my hand, right? And then she'd squeeze it again when it was okay for me to talk. That was our little thing, right? So my friends, other friends who was concerned because I had so much hatred for Muslims, came to me and they says, "What about Sarah, man? You like Sarah?" I said, "I do like Sarah. She's good to us, man. She takes care of us. But she's still Muslim. She's still got to go.
Wow.
And if I can, I'll do it myself," mm-hmm. "with a 9 to the back of the head." That's hatred. That is hatred at the core. And that's the way I felt. That because of my belief on how evil these people were, I didn't want her to carry on the bloodline. I had to stop it. Wow. That's how dark my heart was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this can really be a great example of that transformation. You talking about being alcoholic and pretty much that hate eating away at you. I mean, we know we're talking about our friend here, Alex Jones. I don't know if he quit alcohol, but he was also alcoholic. You see his life's upside down, you know, just in shambles. It's not like the life of the way of life he's living, like it's producing that contentment. We all have tests and trials we're going through, but sure. We were just talking about some of your tests and you're just like, you're just saying, "Thank God." You can see your condition is one of contentment and you have that kind of that calmness, that peace. Right, that Islam gives you. He needs some Islam.
Yeah, he needs. Yeah, definitely, because there is. You know, Islam means peace and submission. And when you have that, you know, because a lot of times, especially Americans, they have this fear of submitting to anything. Right? Yeah. They don't even know. They talk about slavery. Americans are the biggest slaves there are. And they don't even see it because it's a different kind of slavery. It's taken on a whole new look. As I refer to it as wage slavery.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we are. We've become that. And it's all out of our thirst for greed to have more, to have better mm-hmm. than your neighbor. And that's the biggest problem. And it says it also, you know, one of the things that Islam teaches in the Quran is that a true believer is one who wants for his neighbor exactly what he wants for himself.
Mm-hmm.
You think about that. You want to be a millionaire? Well, you want your neighbor to be a millionaire too. Regardless of who they are, what color their skin is, what religion they follow, it doesn't matter. Very few people. And I'm gonna call Muslims out on this too. Very few people in general don't feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
We got to be better. I got to be better, right? I got to have the newest car. I got to have the newest phone, right?
Yes, yes.
You know? I mean, people stand out line for the, you know, outside the night before to get the new iPhone. What's that about?
Slavery, yeah.
Yeah, it is. And this oligarchy that we live in now has it's all come to a head, because now these people are going to perpetuate, the people in charge, the people of power, are going to perpetuate even more of that. You know, my wife might lose her job because the Department of Education is on the chopping block. We don't know if it's going to be here tomorrow. She don't know if she's going to have a job, right? And, you know, people are scared. People are scared. And that's when we got to grab that fear. Grab that fear by the neck and rein it in and turn it into power. Turn it into courage. Because fear is false anyway. It just is. You know, hey, I'm afraid of mice. Okay. I know a mouse isn't going to hurt me, but I'm scared to death of them. It's having that fear and understanding it, bringing it in and making you more powerful. Like I said, you have no right to think that you're not good enough. You have no right to think that you don't have the power, because the person who, or God Almighty, Allah, made you. The same one who created the sun, the moon, the earth, the mountains, he made you. Wow.
And Alex Jones, too.
And Alex Jones, absolutely. Yeah. He made everybody.
Yeah.
So for you to think you're not worthy, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
So is it a slave to the likes, to the views, to the, because like I spoke earlier, for people like Alex Jones, I mean, it's pretty, and again, we're extending a line out there, hopefully, of communication that we can facilitate some dialogue. We can help to bring on some people, and let's have a discussion to talk to really, if you're somebody who is in a quest for truth, he seems like he puts some stuff out there that now goes against some of the mainstream narratives, and over the years, people, he developed a fan base that he goes against some of the norms, exposing some truths, people who know some,
sure,
some things that were actually conspiracies that have happened and have you questioning. But here, he's blatantly lying about Islam, blatantly.
Blatantly, yeah.
One thing, pro-Islam, I like to, when people ever mention Islam, so if you say those who are pro-Islam, and then you just define the words. You mentioned two words, peace and submission. So if you say, and you'd ask someone who believes in God, say, are you pro acquiring peace by submitting your will to the creator of the heavens and earth? They'll say yes. Well, that's Islam right there.
That's Islam.
That's, yeah, Islam.
You're a Muslim.
That's it.
And then watch your head spin.
Yeah. That's what it is. In, yeah, one word, absolutely, encapsulates that. You just now are kind of like uncomfortable with the Arabic, but hold on. I mean, what about Hebrew with Moses, ancient Hebrew, and what about Aramaic with Jesus now?
Mm-hmm.
And he was also born in Palestine, so he's Palestinian.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And what, he was a refugee.
Yeah.
yeah. So it's like, you know, when I do social media, I don't use the word Allah.
Mm-hmm.
I use creator or God, yeah, because it with some people, the people I really want to reach, it gives them that negative connotation, right? Because they're already turned off by that. But if I was to say Yahweh, I'd be good.
Yeah.
Nobody would say anything about that, right? Because it's just not accepted. For some reason, in general society, the word Allah is not accepted. When it's the same word you say every day when you say God.
Yeah. but if you know the common explanation, if you say God, I mean, we know what that means, God Almighty, the Creator.
Sure.
But why we now, after we break it down, the major difference is God, like, what are you referring to? Now, gods, you can put an S after it, flip it around, be dog, you can goddess,
yeah,
Godfather, Godmother. But now when you go deeper, Yahweh, if you say Yahweh, for instance, we don't have a problem with, if you're referring to the Almighty Creator of the heavens, mm-hmm, and earth, the one God, yeah, there's no problem.
That's it.
Allah says, call him by 99 of his most beautiful, mm-hmm, names, and more he has, the just, the merciful, the compassionate. This is the one God, the Creator. If we're talking about that, we're in.
Well, and I know there's a passage in the Bible. I don't know where, but yeah. I remember it, that God, and I don't know who asked him this, but it was somebody that was talking with God and had asked him what his name was.
Yeah.
And he says, I am.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. End of story. I am. That's it. Now, through time, we ended up with the word God.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Arabic. Since it's, you know, a language of native speaking people, Allah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what the concept is, you know, that people have when they can't figure out it's the same thing. I just don't get that.
Yeah.
You know, like in French, we call a pencil a crayon, right? Well, it's not a crayon.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't get mad about that. You know, it's this thing. You have to understand that everybody has their own language, and that's what they refer to. Christians in Arab-speaking nations have Allah printed in their Bible.
It's in the Bible, yeah.
It's in the Bible, Arabic Bible. For Arab-speaking
Allah,
people.
Allah is there.
Allah is there because that's their word.
Yeah.
It's amazing how people shut them off and want to. It's like they want to stay in a state of ignorance.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
There's deep ignorance, yeah. That's why these conversations are so important. That's why I don't understand when you have people like the Charlie Kirks and you have many of these conservatives, they'll go and have discussions with on the college campuses with liberals, and they'll be asked, why are you here? Well, I'm trying to better understand you. Why don't you better understand us? Come and talk with us.
Sure.
Alex Jones and others. Come sit and talk with a Muslim. Let's have a discussion, and let's get to the bottom of some things and agree to disagree on some things, but let's see in context. We're like, I said, we're open book. Come, discuss, and see, make your judgments from there. But that's the ironic thing. I mean, bring on everybody and their mother, but you won't see a Muslim qualified scholar come on out the Alex Jones show, him invite, and we'll help to facilitate that.
No, and I love to speak to people like that, and they get so frustrated because – number one, I don't defend Islam.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to be defended, right? I don't defend it. If you want to have a discussion, we can talk. I'll talk all day about Islam. Mm-hmm. I'm fine.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to argue with you,
mm-hmm.
right? And people are like, well, doesn't that bother you, man, when people like get in your face and stuff? I said, no. I said, listen, I tell people this as a PSA whenever it goes to a Q&A.
Yes.
I've been shot at. I've been stabbed. I've been blown up. I've been married 5 times, and now I'm vaccinated. You can't hurt me. Period. I'm like Teflon. Say what you got to say, you know. And I mean that. I do deeply mean that. I'm not going to defend my religion because it don't need defended. You know, I don't like what some people have to say. That doesn't mean anything, really. It's just I don't like it. Okay. Well, so be it. Alhamdulillah, I go on my life, you know, and go on doing what I'm doing.
Yeah. There's an example of a famous Dutch politician. His name is Joram Van. I interviewed him, an amazing individual. He was part of the political party of Geert Wilders. This guy is like has a key position in, is it the Netherlands? And he's actually someone who's trying to get rid of the Quran.
Mm.
He's been doing this for years. So one of his key members actually went and he opened up the Quran, the Bible, and he was trying to go ahead and find, like you were doing.
Sure.
He was trying to, justify some of this hate.
Right.
So it's blind hate. Usually it's what the Islamophobic industry, the hate industry, the hate provocateurs, they take select verses, they chop them up, they paint a narrative, they fear monger, and now you get that stuff. But then most people don't open it up from themselves. They don't sit with a qualified person. They don't sit and talk, ask questions. So what he did, amazing story. Alex Jones should look him up. And he goes and he starts to compare and he starts to see, you know, the verses in the Bible and the Quran. And he comes to the conclusions, just like that study did, that, wow, actually, the Bible's actually more violent than the Quran. You have Moses commanding now when they went to worship the calf 3,000 in one shot when they came back were annihilated. Yep. And you can just imagine what that word means at the end, to the in one shot.
Right.
And then the other things that Moses did, who we love, he's one, you cannot insult him or Jesus or anything in Islam. Mm-mm. But what the Bible is saying, claiming that he did, and we're over here attacking Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. You have people, you know, the age of Mary when she was married to Joseph, according to the Catholic Encyclopedia, Rebecca also, that many rabbis are talking about and justify. We don't accept that with the Rebecca. So this is stuff, but then they want to go and attack Prophet Muhammad. So I'm just making this example that if people go ahead and just open the book but and read their own book instead of throwing stones out of a glass house, have those discussions and not be so hypocritical. Because nowadays what's taken over Christianity is liberalism. Mm-hmm. So it's not really Christianity that Alex Jones and others who are attacking Islam, they're following.
Sure.
This is more of a liberal interpretation because there's a lot of commonalities between the two, right? Because originally came from the same source as the creator, but over time, the books got changed, the Bible got changed. You got Bible scholar telling us this.
We don't have the original manuscripts. We don't have the documents that the authors actually wrote. So when Mark wrote a gospel, we don't have that thing he wrote. We have copies of it that were made later. And we actually don't have copies. We've got copies of copies of copies that are many centuries later most of the time. And so I realized that as an evangelical. But the more I studied it, these manuscripts started bothering me a little bit because I had believed that the Bible was God's words. It's not just that it was like his communication broadly. It was his very words. But then as more I thought about it, I realized, you know, there are places where we don't know what the words are. There are entire passages in the Bible that I was familiar with that probably weren't originally there. They're in some manuscripts, but not in other manuscripts. And so somebody's either added them or somebody's taken them away. And how do we know? And so for me, that started a kind of an avalanche of doubt.
And what happens? God Almighty at the end, to clear everything up, he sends the final revelation, the Quran. That's here. And you are a testament to the power of this Quran. Alex Jones, really pick up. Don't lie. You picked up and you read the Quran. You wouldn't be talking the way you did. Please read the Quran. Connect with Muslims like us. What else would you say to Alex Jones before we conclude? And others out there who are might be plotting and planning something evil like you were, but you connected with Muslims, you read the book, and you actually accepted submission to the creator, not the creation, Islam, and you're here on the Dean Show.
Oh, mashallah. It's truly a blessing, you know, and I want to thank you for having me here and even having me at other events. It's you know, what you do is, wow, it's so huge. You know, this the Dean Center.
Assalamu alaikum. As you can see, we're here busy, hard at work, working to get the Dean Center up, open and running, inshallah. And I want to thank all of you for your tremendous, consistent support. And did you know that the most beloved deeds to God Almighty Allah are those done consistently, even if they're very small? And we've got a ton of small projects, big projects, from doors and windows, inside work, outside work. And alhamdulillah, out of the 5 buildings, we put up 2 new roofs with your help. We got 3 more roofs that we have to get done. That's where you guys come in. Because if you didn't know, we have 5 buildings here we're working on 4 acres. So pick a project, big or small, make your intention. Go ahead and make your reoccurring donation. Click the link below, donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.
You're trying to finish up. It's that is what we need. And it's not about making Muslims. It's not about converting all these people, mass people. No. It's about teaching them and taking them out of ignorance. Because it's one thing to become a Muslim, but it's also for those that are not Muslims to learn. There's no reason to hate Muslims. There's no reason to hate Jews. There's no reason to hate Christians. There's no reason to do any of this because it gets us nowhere. Unity over uniformity, always, always.
How can people now encourage different church groups and others who want to connect and hear your story and they want to invite you to talk at a university or another place? How do people get a hold of you?
So I'm not big on the social scale. I just my email is ramckinney1081@yahoo.com. Send me an email. I'll be more than happy to come talk with you, or maybe just sit and have a phone conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nice seeing you again. May God Almighty Allah bless you.
You too, brother. You too.
And thank you, Alex. Let's get this message to the Alex Joneses and Alex Jones himself. Man, what's up, Alex? We got this message sent to you. Hopefully this opens your mind. And for those others who like to get the book and read it for themselves and not be brainwashed and fear-mongered into cancer and stuff, that's going to destroy your health, man, and your mind and your body. And at the end of the day, what are you going to die? You're going to end up in a place, a hateful place, misery. Do what the brother did. He opened up the Quran. He read it. Look at him now. Huh? Positivity is great. Feeling good. He's living purpose. So go to thedeanshow.com. We'll get you a free copy of the Quran for you, Alex Jones. We can meet Alex Jones. Connect with me. Your people can connect with mine. Let's make it happen. And I'll bring you one and give it to you personally myself. The olive branch, as they say, has been extended. Let's see. You know who we are. We know you know who we are. Your people responded some of our videos. So let's go ahead. We're extending. Let's see what you do with that. And others who are following that way of hate, open your hearts. Ask the creator of the heavens and earth for guidance. Sit with the Muslims. Talk with the Muslims. Visit a mosque. And let's connect. Subscribe if you haven't already. Hit that notification bell so you don't miss exciting programs like this one. We'll see you next time, inshallah, God willing. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.